This is KUAF 91.3, a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. And this is Ozarks at Large for the first afternoon of May 2019. Ahead this afternoon on our show, the latest edition of Reflections in Black with Raven Cook. Today, Raven explores the life of James McCune Smith, author, abolitionist, and physician. Later today on 91.3, on NPR's Here and Now, former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer started USA Facts because he wanted one place to go for government statistics. He'll discuss his project. That, plus the afternoon's news, on Here and Now, beginning at 1, right after this edition of Ozarks at Large. The next round of applications for Artist 360 grants open as of right now. The grants offer funding and professional development opportunities to artists in all media in Benton, Carroll, Crawford, Sebastian, and Washington counties. An outreach session for artists interested in applying will be held tonight at 6 at the Arts Center of the Ozarks in downtown Springdale. Deadline for applying, so this is the first day, but the deadline for applying is July 8th. The Artist 360 grants are a program of the Mid-America Arts Alliance with funding made possible by the Walton Family Foundation. More information can be found at artists360.art. This is Ozarks at Large. We're getting older. The U.S. Census Bureau's National Population Projections Team predicts that in 2035, there will be more people in the United States 65 and older than people 18 and younger, the first time that will have happened in this country. Additionally, Arkansas is one of the older populations in the country. The state had the ninth oldest average age in the 2010 census. These numbers will likely mean all kinds of changes. Over the course of the next several months, we'll examine many aspects of aging, and we start today with Brandy Schneider, Director of Administration and Aging Services at the UAMS Schmieding Center for Senior Health and Aging in Springdale. She says almost everything will be altered as the population grows older.
I think a lot of the things that we think about when we're talking about just the aging population in general is it's going to affect everything we do. So it's not just one area of our population. It's how are we going to pay for healthcare for older adults? It's looking at living situations and where older adults are going to live, who's going to take care of them as they get older. What kinds of things are we going to provide for active older adults? Because we know that the baby boom generation is not the same generation as those World War II older adults. The baby boomers want more active lifestyles. Millennials, it's projected that the millennial population will be even larger than the baby boom population will be. So, you know, as we look even further into the future, what kinds of things will millennials want to do as they get older? So it really impacts every part of our state, everything that we really plan for in our future.
Down to, I mean, there will be more older adults who want to stay in their own homes. So you have to think about how homes are built, things like that.
Yeah, we really talk now about livable communities, those communities that we can design that will be appropriate for young families, appropriate for people with disabilities, but then also appropriate for older adults as well. So people can stay in their homes. We know that there's a caregiving crisis as well, and it's going to be very hard to attract younger people into a caregiving, professional caregiving type role. And so how do we help people to age at home, age in place, stay healthy? And there are so many great things coming out now with technology and the different things that we can do. It's, you know, unfortunately, older adults has become sort of a booming business for people as well, because we're looking at, you know, that bottom line and those dollars and how are we going to continue to support older adults as they live at home.
This is good news, though, right? More people are living to an older age?
So more people are living to an older age, which can be good news, but it also means, you know, how do we take care of those people? Who is going to take care of them? If older adults are outnumbering children, who in the younger generation is there to help take care of older adults as they get more frail? So there are certainly good opportunities, but also there are those challenges that come up as we look at the population aging as well.
you have used the term, and I have followed suit, older adults. Is that
correct?
The preferred?
Yeah, that's really the politically correct term. There's a whole body of literature that just discusses what really is the right term to describe people 65 and over. And so older adult, according to polls, is really the most accepted term right now. Senior is kind of accepted. Elder is sort of accepted, but things like senior citizen and aging and old and elderly, those are all things that have just sort of gone by the wayside as more and more people get older. And as more people are aging and they're healthy, we want a term that describes that as well. We don't want people to just think about getting older in terms of frailty, but also in those good things that come with getting older, increased wisdom, you know, more time, possibly some more disposable income, although there's some question about how that's going to look in future generations as well. But
did I just not see a study this week that there are more older Americans, people 65 and over, with full-time jobs than ever before?
Correct. You know, as we live longer, we want to continue to be more productive as we get older as well. So people are choosing to stay at work longer. Just also financially, many more people are having to work a little bit longer because we're just not prepared to pay for 20, 30 years of getting older and of retirement like we were, like we were doing before. So
you may not have a specific answer to this, but has ageism changed as more people are getting to 65 and older, and maybe we're not, as a population, acting or behaving the same as previous 65-plus generations?
Yeah. So there's some debate about that, too. I think we're getting better at recognizing that older people can be active, that they very much still contribute to society, but there's still a lot of ageism, especially when it comes to the workforce, where it's just not. Although they bring so much wealth of information and so much experience to the workforce, there's still some ageism in, looking at how people can contribute in the workforce and really wanting to promote those older adults. So there's a whole movement towards just redefining aging, reframing aging, and really helping, especially the younger generation, to see the value in people who are older, who are over 65.
This is an interesting place because it's not a place where many people who moved here perhaps to be employed when they were in their 20s or 30s are not necessarily moving away. You have a lot of folks who are retiring and staying here. So you have this institutional memory that's staying in Northwest and Arkansas.
Right, right.
And that's a big advantage.
It is. It is. That's, I think, probably one of the biggest advantages to older adults anywhere is that history that they bring to where they are and just the history that they bring to the workplace and to their communities. So it is a huge advantage. And it's unfortunate that we don't have as more intergenerational programs than we have so that the younger people can really learn from those types of that institutional knowledge and that knowledge of place and history.
What sort of things do you do day to day in your job?
So we spend a lot of time working with active older adults, so providing things like exercise programs and just different educational topics for them, how to plan for retirement, what to expect in retirement. But we also work with a lot of frail older adults and their family caregivers as well. So, as people get older, we recognize that they need a little bit more assistance sometimes. And so, that's also kind of a tricky thing with people getting older is then they're also relying on family to take care of them. So I spend a lot of my day working with family caregivers and helping them navigate all of the resources that we have up here in Northwest Arkansas. Because we are very rich in resources in Northwest Arkansas for older adults, but sometimes access is hard. If you don't know where to go for those resources, it's hard to access them. So I spend a lot of time helping people navigate that age maze.
When you talk about resources, that we're rich in resources, what specifically resources do you mean?
So we have a fantastic healthcare system up here in Northwest Arkansas. So we have geriatricians that help take care of older adults. We also have a lot of different housing options for older adults, which every community doesn't have. So we have the healthcare system as well as just a lot of different activities for people to do, like Crystal Bridges and a lot of those really unique places that older adults can go and spend their retirement years enjoying as well.
Is there a change, should there be a change, in people who are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s who plan to get to their 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond, how they eat, how they move, things like that?
Absolutely. So we know that what affects us in our 70s and 80s doesn't start in our 70s and 80s, that what we choose in our lifestyles at a much younger age can have an impact on how we age. So we really talk a lot about healthy eating, exercise, not smoking, you know, alcohol consumption, you know, really keeping your heart healthy, your blood sugar levels healthy, because all of those things certainly can contribute to how well you age when you're 60, 70, 80 years old. And that's hard. When someone's 20 or 30, it's hard to convince them that they need to care about what's going to happen to them when they're 70 and 80. But we're really looking at a lot of the chronic conditions that happen to older adults. Now, even dementia, Alzheimer's disease is really a public health issue. So we can start talking about how do we prevent that, or how do we reduce the risk for a lot of these chronic conditions that are associated with getting older, but that really start when we're in our 30s, 40s, and choosing what we're going to have for dinner or how much we're going to exercise.
We don't always like to talk about getting older.
Right.
You know, you bring up Alzheimer's or care or things like that. Something that maybe we just don't want to – well, we'll talk about that someday, but not right now.
Yeah, I think it is hard to address those issues. None of us want to think about at a time where we may be more frail than we are now. Maybe we can't do the things that we are now. But it's so important to start planning ahead. I work with people every day who didn't plan. Mm-hmm. So now they're in a crisis situation. And how are we going to pay for care? What are we going to do now? So it's really important to start planning ahead and looking at how much money do I need for retirement, and what does my retirement look like? Because retirement's going to look different in future generations than it looks now. So what do I want that to look like? How do I make that happen for myself? I just returned from a national conference in New Orleans on aging, and a lot of what we were talking about were people who are aging alone. Mm-hmm. So these are people, because more people are choosing not to get married, or they're choosing not to have children. So what do I want that to look like in my future if I don't have that family near me who can help take care of me?
Let's say someone didn't exercise enough, or you played football for some reason, your knee, you know, there are problems that have developed. Is it ever too late to start trying to exercise more, or?
No, it's never too late to start. So even if you're 80 years old, doing something is better than doing nothing. So we talk to people a lot about do those things that you still can do, even if it's just walking around your house a couple of times, and you're not going to be walking the track or walking a mile, but just walking around the house, or just at least getting up and moving every day. So it's never too late to start trying to eat a healthy diet and exercise and stop those bad habits that we all have when we're younger.
Astrophysicists may study stars, but they don't go to the stars. You study a subject, work with a subject that affects you.
Right.
You've gotten older since you started this.
Absolutely. We're all doing it, whether we want to admit it or not.
So have your attitudes, have your thoughts about aging changed as you've gotten older?
They have. So I've been working in geriatrics for about 25 years. So I'm only 44. So I've been doing this most of my adult life. But it has. I think I'm much more prepared for getting older. I know what that looks like. One of the great, great things about being able to spend so much of my time with older adults is just those valuable life lessons that they inadvertently teach me as I'm working with them. And so things like, you know, preparing for tomorrow, but really living in the moment and living for today, because we're not all guaranteed a healthy retirement. So those things that I want to do now, I want to do now and not always put off. But then also, you know, being sure that I'm careful to plan for what that looks like. I think I also am much more aware of healthy aging, and that there are older adults who are active and can still do those things. You know, I know older adults that, you know, run marathons and compete in senior Olympics that could probably run circles around me. And I think, you know, for so much of our lifespan, we think about getting older in terms of frailty. So I think I have a complete opposite perspective of that I see how I want to age, and I strive to make those healthy choices, even if it's not always the easiest choice to make.
All right. Perhaps one last unfair question. Our listeners to Ozarks at Large span the gamut from teenagers to people nearing 100 years of age. Mm-hmm. Is there any one piece of advice you can give someone from 17 to 98 to be healthier?
I think so. Exercise, definitely.
Move.
Exercise. Yep. That is probably the most important piece of advice I can give them, is just move, exercise. But even for those younger listeners, I would say get to know an older adult. You know, walk with your older neighbor somewhere. You know, do things together with them. Those intergenerational type things are going to become more and more important as our society gets older. You know, we're looking at how can college students or high school students help older adults as they get older. So exercise, but take an older adult with you or take a younger person with you so you really get the benefit of that socialization as well.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Randy Schneider is Director of Administration and Aging Services at the UAMS Schmieding Center for Senior Health and Aging in Springdale. Our conversation, the start of a series of discussions we'll have on Ozarks at Large in the coming weeks and months about aging.
SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, concludes its 64th season this Saturday at Walton Arts Center. Maestro Paul Haas and SONA musicians present the season's fourth Masterworks concert, showcasing works by Stravinsky and Tchaikovsky, featuring special guest French cellist Edgar Moreau. Tickets available at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org. The 32nd annual Eureka Springs May Festival of the Arts offers over 80 unique events with music, theater, dance, art, and more. The Artrageous Parade and Street Festival is 2 p.m. on Saturday, May 4th, with Jazz in the Park beginning at 5. The full May calendar of events is available at EurekaSpringsFestivalOfTheArts.com or EurekaSprings.org. Ozarks at Large is supported by the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of this region's history and culture.
This is Ozarks at Large. Seven Hills Homeless Center in Fayetteville is retiring a nearly $250,000 mortgage on their day center on South School Avenue. CEO Jessica Andrews says the anonymous donor's action is a big step forward.
This is something that, as many people know, had been an issue for us in the past, and we did have a refinancing that happened that was really great at that time. So then being able to pay this off and not have that monthly payment anymore is really building momentum behind our organization.
The Day Center offers clients access to meals, clothing, showers, job search assistance, and many other services. Seven Hills also operates an outreach program called Project Hope and the Walker Center Residential Community Facility on Huntsville Road. That facility provides transitional housing for up to 36 people. Last fiscal year, Seven Hills spent more than half of its $1.35 million budget on direct services, counting more than 1,400 clients over the past 6 months. Jessica Andrews says the recent gift will allow staff to allocate more resources to unsheltered clients.
Definitely opens up the ability to put more money towards programming. So we have a housing program that operates both within the community, doing scattered site housing, and then also that operates at our own Walker facility, and then, of course, our day center, which most people know us for. We do usually have an operating deficit on our budget, and so we have overcome that for this fiscal year, but that is something that we're always working towards, increasing those sustaining contributions to go towards that. So this cost savings on a monthly basis moving forward is going to be huge for that deficit.
More information can be found at sevenhillscenter.org, and that's the number 7 at the beginning of the web address, sevenhillscenter.org. The Veterans Healthcare System of the Ozarks will host a baby shower health fair Friday from 10 to 3. Roseanne Harris, Women Veterans Program Manager, says the annual event is designed to educate veterans and spouses of veterans who are expecting or have recently had a child.
The Fayetteville Police Department will be there to talk about child safety and car seat safety and things like that. WIC will be there, and the Washington County Health Department will be there, and one of their lactation consultants will be talking about breastfeeding and lactation.
Harris says the Veterans Healthcare System of the Ozarks, which serves veterans living in 23 counties across four states, counts 3,900 women veteran enrollees. That number has increased by several hundred in recent months, part of a national trend of more military women seeking health care at the VA. Harris says more events are planned for the future.
May 14th through the 16th, we have visitors coming here from Women's Health Service putting on training specifically to help our primary care teams feel empowered to care for our women veterans so that our women veterans can have that comprehensive women's health care that's gender specific.
More information at fayettevillear.va.gov. And still to come on this edition of Ozarks at Large, if we decided to bring you this show bi-monthly, Would we be changing to a twice-a-month format or a show that we produce only every other month? Our militant grammarian provides an answer.
The prefix bi usually means every two. So bi-monthly means...
The militant grammarian ahead in our second half hour of this edition of Ozarks at Large. If you're a fan of beer festivals, you certainly have options Saturday. In addition to two annual events, Fayetteville Foam Fest and the Arkansas Brewgrass Festival, there's a brand new beer and coffee festival debuting in downtown Rogers. Rituals Coffee and Beer Fest is being hosted by Ozark Beer Company and Onyx Coffee Lab. Yesterday, Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda traveled to Rogers to speak with Marty Shutter, Ozark Beer Company's marketing director. He says the two local companies have partnered together in the past, and they began discussing creating an event like this a couple of years ago.
We were trying to dream up an event together. So it'd be a coffee and beer event, but our brains were kind of limited to the two businesses. It didn't work. We didn't have time to do it. We moved into the new space, and we thought, well, what if we make it bigger? What if we let Onyx handle some sourcing of coffees? And then it became what inspires them. And then so then we thought, well, what inspires us? So then we're like, oh, this would be a really cool way to bring in breweries that aren't distributed here that we have mostly a personal connection with. Like, and then that became a big flavor of the thinking, was like, oh, well, then this can be a curated beer list that is made up of beers and breweries that actually inspire us. And then that is a totally different angle, right? Like, than what we're used to. And so then that became the director for Onyx, which was like, well, why don't you seek out the best in your field, people that you look up to or people that have made products that you like. So that was about 2 or 3 years ago. And we came up with some sample lists because through many of us, the breweries we do have personal connections, but also we've met a lot of breweries that have inspired us in the past, and now we have those connections. And it was honestly too much to pull off. It was just too much to pull off in the last couple of years. So with the hiring of Michael McAllister, our Rockstar Taproom and Events Manager, we were able to kind of put that in his world for one of his first big, you know, events and say, and so now we had a full-time resource to do that, and someone who is also passionate about beer and coffee. So it went from this idea of being two companies creating a one-day event, and then, you know, with the gratuity of time, like with thankful, you know, for the failure, it morphed into a whole lot more. And so that's where it started.
So forgive me if this is a silly question, but do coffee and beer pair well together?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, It's a couple things. So it's the craft beverage world, like, is very active in both of those scenes, you know. You have beyond that sourcing and methodology, which are two things that both industries are very serious about, and their methods are what make them craft. So we source very often an Ozark beer is a modern interpretation using older world ingredients. So we might dry hop a pale ale, which is an American forward-thinking technique, with Mandarina Bavaria, an older hop that's been around in more sturdy styles. So that is a bit of our methodology and sourcing that makes us a craft brewery, and coffee's no different. So you have, you almost always have alongside what the coffee is these days, the method it was made. It's you know, drip is now a fifth of the spectrum of methods. And so you have method and sourcing in that world making up their craft. And so we mirror each other in that way. And then the very, very basic pairings of coffee and beer, most often in, you know, a stout or a darker beer, many of our ingredients are heavily roasted, just like a coffee bean. So a lot of those flavors tend to meld together. What's really exciting about a festival like this, when you give people at the top of their game leeway to play, they come back with ideas that wouldn't have happened without that leeway. And so now we have Prairie from Tulsa making a coffee coconut cream ale specifically for this festival. Topeka Roasters in Tulsa is doing a collaboration of their own to bring a gluten-free buckwheat saison with coffee cascara, which isn't even the coffee, really. It's the husk that's turned into a tea. So by sort of opening up the gates and creating a platform for people to showcase themselves at their highest level, the return is products that none of us have ever seen before. So I'm super excited about that. So we have a heavy lineup of world-class baller, you know, American stouts paired with and brewed with some of the finest coffee possible, but we also have new methods and new products because of this collaboration.
So the event is Saturday, and there are a couple of different sessions, so you can kind of pick the time. Is that how that works?
Yeah, we're doing two sessions, and the origin behind that was, again, when we were thinking of the festival a couple years ago, was how do you sell enough tickets, invite enough people to pay for such a world-class festival, but how do you keep it intimate? And so two sessions was the answer. So we can sell more tickets, but those sessions themselves, which right now are looking about pretty much 50% of the tickets, it's pretty even. That allows the guests to have a festival that is curated at the highest level without bringing in as many people as possible. What we're doing is we're paying for the beer. So we're used to most beer festivals asking for donations. And so it forces us to really be choosy on which festivals we want to do. It's got to make sense with our mission, our market, our brand. It's got to make sense with all of that. And we didn't want to put that burden on these world-class breweries that didn't have any reason to answer, you know, our email other than the fact that we had personal connections.
So where are you hosting it, and how much are tickets?
We're hosting it at Venue 718 in downtown Rogers. It's a new space, a couple blocks from the brewery. And the tickets for each session are $65 for the 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And then the other session is 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. And it's... we couldn't do any of that without Onyx's help as well, because Onyx is a big resource when it comes to not just bringing in these world-class roasters, but also providing the technical and equipment, you know, technical perspective and the physical equipment to pull off this feat instead of it just being a bunch of drip coffee.
Are you hoping that this will become a regular event?
Yeah, the goal is to make this an annual event, and I think we've really... we started with reaching out to, like I said, breweries and roasters that have inspired us, and it's taken on a life of its own in having these beers created for it, or these coffee. There's a coffee drink coming from Topeka again that is a cold fashioned. It's a cold brew, old fashioned with no alcohol. And so the sort of the echo or the feedback loop is that it is taking on a life of its own, and it hasn't even happened yet. So it's really exciting to see where and how it could grow in the future.
Thanks for your time, and best of luck with the event.
Thank you very much.
That was Marty Shutter, Marketing Director for Ozark Beer Company. He spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda yesterday inside Ozark's Tap Room in Rogers. Tickets and more information available at ozarkbeercompany.com/event.
This is Reflections in Black, and I'm your host, Raven Cook. Reflections in Black is a segment dedicated to exploring the legacy of Black Americans in the United States and around the globe. Reflections in Black also provides resources for understanding and hope for all people. James McCune Smith was born on April 18, 1813, in New York. Smith's mother is believed to have bought her freedom, and many laws dictated that Black children's status of enslaved or free followed the status of their mother's. Smith's father is believed to have either been a free Black man or a white merchant ship owner. James McCune Smith attended the African Free School in New York. Despite being denied acceptance into many American schools, Smith was able to eventually gain acceptance into the University of Glasgow in Scotland and earn his bachelor's, master's, and medical degree in 1837. Historians strongly believe that Smith was the first Black American to be awarded a medical degree. After obtaining his degree, Smith worked to complete a medical internship in Paris, France, before returning to New York and opening a medical practice and pharmacy. His practice served interracial clientele and was located in New York City's West Broadway. Dr. Smith's arrival back in the United States prompted him to not only utilize his degrees, but serve his community. He became a vocal critic of the institution of slavery, and with his powerful oratory and writing, Smith was able to challenge many to see and become active in the movement as well. Dr. Smith worked to break down barriers in the medical practice by publishing several written pieces. In 1863, Dr. Smith accepted a position as anthropology professor at Wilberforce University in Ohio. Unfortunately, Dr. Smith's life would end at a young age of 52 as he battled heart disease. He was survived by a wife and five children. Today, we celebrate the life and legacy of the pioneering James McCune Smith.
Reflections in Black is a production of KUAF Public Radio in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You can hear weekly segments on Ozarks at Large, and you can learn more about the series online at KUAF.com. Just search for Reflections in Black.
Couple of quick sports notes on this Wednesday. The University of Arkansas golf team, SEC champions. They claimed their first conference championship since 1995 at the SEC Championship Tournament at St. Simon's Island in Georgia. And last night, the University of Arkansas Razorback baseball team defeated Grambling State 17-3 at Dickey Stevens Park in North Little Rock in front of 10,400 fans. Up next for the Razorbacks, a three-game SEC weekend series against Kentucky in Lexington.
The Botanical Garden of the Ozarks hosts the 24th annual Greening of the Garden Gala, Friday, May 3rd. This event celebrates the arrival of spring and will include live jazz music, dinner on the great lawn, live and silent auctions, a wine pool, diamond dig, and more. Tickets and information can be found online at bgozarks.org. Support for KUAF comes from the Walmart Museum and the Wall That Heals, on display in the Buckyball Field at Crystal Bridges from May 23rd to the 27th. This three-quarter scale replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C., and Mobile Education Center are free and will welcome visitors 24/7. DowntownBentonville.org/wall to learn more about the Wall That Heals.
It's Wednesday, so it's time to take a survey of live music that we can enjoy over the next 6 days or so. To do that, we employ Timothy Dennis here in the Harold Blanchcock studio to give us the tour. What do we got, Timothy?
We've got a lot of stuff this weekend. Let's start with tomorrow night. Willie Carlisle is back in the area. Mm-hmm. He's been on a tour of the West Coast and Alaska. He's back now.
I was born on the white prairie with its wheat so wild and strong. I left my home when I turned 21. Still don't know if I was wrong. 'Cause I know a girl down in southern Illinois has me tangled up like kudzu vines.
He will be at Bike Rack Brewing Company in Springdale tomorrow night.
Just a solo show. Gotcha.
That gets underway at 7 o'clock. Again, that's Bike Rack Brewing in Springdale. Also happening Thursday night in Fayetteville is a show with several bands on the bill at Backspace. It is a release show for the New Orleans bands Chardonnay and Nick Shoulders and the OK Crawdad, who we will actually have in the studio later this week.
True.
It also features St. Louis band Pono AM, who's also releasing an album. But local bands Sad Palomino, May the Peace of the Sea Be With You, and Piranhas are also on that bill. That show at Backspace has a $5 cover. It'll get underway at about 8 o'clock Thursday night. Moving on to Friday, the Power of Music Festival begins.
Third annual.
They're going to start out with free music during First Friday on the Bentonville Square. It will include Tater Mater and Squash, Candy Lee, the Shotgun Billies, and a preview of the Saturday night ticketed event. That ticketed event happens at Meteor Guitar Gallery, and it's a BMG Nashville Songwriters Showcase featuring Chris August and Kat Higgins.
Okay.
Tickets for that show Saturday night are $20 in advance, $25 day of. That's the Power of Music Festival. You can find out more on their Facebook page or on their website.
All right.
Also happening Friday, but down in Fayetteville, Three Penny Acre is going to play.
My daddy was a company. Strip mine the coal, oh, straight from the land. My brother John, my uncle Bill, gave up the coal for an old whiskey still.
And if I'm correct, this is the original lineup.
The four-person lineup. That's
Baird,
what I understand.
Shannon, Bernice, and Brian.
Right. That is going to be at the Geisinger Building, also known as Roots Festival HQ in Fayetteville. Tickets for that show are $20. It'll get underway at 7 p.m. Friday night. Still in Fayetteville Friday night, Arkansas will be back at George's Majestic Lounge.
Always a good time.
Opening up for them will be the Mighty Pines. That show has a $15 cover. It'll get underway at 9:30 Friday night. Again, that's at George's in Fayetteville. Moving up the road to Black Apple Crossing in Springdale, the Traveling Squirrels will be on stage.
Can you tell me anything about the Traveling Squirrels?
They are a jam band from Eureka Springs. So think, you know, Fish, Grateful Dead, that type of music.
Okay.
That show at Black Apple Crossing gets underway at 8 o'clock Friday night. Also happening Friday night, but over in Eureka Springs, Steve Earle is going to be at the Odd.
Well, my name's John Lee Pettimore. Same as my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. They only come a town about twice a year.
That's right, along with Junior Brown.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Should be one heck of a show. There are still tickets available for that show. They start at $45. It'll get underway at 8 o'clock Friday night. Again, that's the auditorium in Eureka Springs. Still in Eureka Springs Friday night, Sad Daddy will be at Chelsea's.
Well, I can still remember all the singing in the woods, flicker of the firefly and the humming of the brook, the dancing of the wind that shook the leaves on every tree in the country where my true love waits for me. On a mountainside where the river faces a big old sky, wide open spaces. They're everything so crowded, you just think it's gonna budge. And this big old iron world has turned to rust.
Sad Daddy, of course, fantastic old-time minstrel-y folk-type band. That show at Chelsea's gets underway at 9 o'clock Friday night. And if you can't make that Chelsea show Friday night, you've got another chance to see Sad Daddy at Brewgrass Saturday afternoon.
Oh, at the Washington County Fairgrounds.
Yes. Also performing during Brewgrass will be Nick Shoulders,
mm-hmm,
and also the Ozark Highballers. Tickets for Brewgrass are $7, and everything gets underway at 1 p.m. Again, that's the Washington County Fairgrounds here in Fayetteville. Happening Saturday night at George's in Fayetteville, Brother Moses returns to town.
Yes, they do.
They're an indie rock band. Yeah. They used to live in Fayetteville, but now they're more abroad.
Right.
Tickets for that show are $12 in advance. They go up to $15 the day of. That show gets underway at 9 p.m. Saturday night. Also happening in Fayetteville Saturday night, Dump Truck Boys will be at Smoke and Barrel Tavern.
B-O-Y-Z.
B-O-Y-Z. Dump Truck Boys. Yes.
Good.
That's the official after party for the Brewgrass Festival. It is a free show and it gets underway at 10 p.m. Again, that's Smoke and Barrel in Fayetteville. Now, at the road in Bentonville, Bike Rack Brewing Company will have the monthly House of Song Songwriter Showcase. This month, they are featuring Kaylin Fay, Lacey Hampton, Candy Lee, and Jamie Lou Conley. The cover for that show is $10. It'll get underway at 7 o'clock Saturday night. Again, that's Bike Rack Brewing Company in Bentonville. Also happening Saturday night over in Eureka Springs, the 1-ounce jig will be at Chelsea's.
Always save macaroni and cheese mixed with a can of Van Camp's pork and beans. Well, that's easy to see that you're not a rich man eating cereal the next day through the empty bean can. But you're glad to have Elvita happy for Spam because you can't afford cheddar, can't afford ham. Wish you had some wheat pancakes, but all you have are mashed potato flakes. But we can mix it up and we can fix it up. We can heat it up and we can eat it up. We can cook it down till it's golden brown. Or we can water it up and we can drink it from a cup.
That show at Chelsea's gets underway at 9:30. Again, that's Saturday night. Now, Sunday is the beginning of the KUAF Summer Jazz Concert Series.
With Jazz in Bloom at Botanical Garden.
Correct. A duo that we actually heard from, yes, earlier
Monday,
this week.
Monday, yeah.
Kim Prevost and the Bill Solly duo.
Right. He plays guitar, she sings.
It should be a really fantastic show. Tickets for that show start at $60. It is at Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, gets underway at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Then finally, Sunday evening, Tim Easton will be at Eureka House Concerts. They usually start out with a meet and greet potluck at 5 p.m. Music starts at 6. Should be a good time.
All right. Well, thank you. Next week, you and Antoinette will be doing this. I will be in New Orleans, so have a good time, and I'll be back the week after that.
All right, safe travels.
They give a damn about you. We'll make sure your enemies all get to know about your troubled times. Don't worry, I love you even when you're down. Take your time, don't hurry. I will always be around. You're rolled out of bed with a ton on your mind and no place for you to go.
It's time to welcome our militant grammarian, Catherine Shirlds, back to the Carver Center for Public Radio. Welcome back.
Thanks, Kyle. Do you remember 1986?
Oh, vividly.
Okay. Do you remember why it was a special year in Arkansas?
Was it our sesquicentennial?
It was. I remember it as the year I had to learn to spell sesquicentennial because I was working for a newspaper. So let's talk some about ennials.
Oh, I hope.
You got
I have
one
a
you
favorite
want
word.
That's in here. Oh, okay, good. We'll find out. The spelling challenge comes up more often these days with the designation of people born 1981 to 1986 as millennials.
Right.
How do you spell that?
Oh, Lord. I had someone, by the way, say the other day, I can tell you guys don't rehearse this, and we don't, because you didn't know how to spell Q. It's like, yeah, no, I didn't. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
All right, millennial. M-I-L-L-E-N-I-A-L?
Nope. And that's why it's – and you actually missed it for a reason that you shouldn't.
That's how I spell.
Means.
That's how I spell.
Yeah.
Or don't spell.
It, two L's and two N's. The ennial
sure.
always has two N's.
Of course,
N's, yeah.
of course. I should have
yeah,
yes.
That's what I mean. You knew that.
Yeah, well.
Okay. But we got spell check, right? We don't need to worry yeah. about that. Although I notice a lot of people don't use it.
Yes.
But my computer doesn't have a meaning check. So let's talk about the meanings of the words.
Okay.
So, Kyle, let's look at the difference between biannual and biennial.
Okay.
Biannual means what?
Biannual means twice a year.
Yes.
Biennial means once every 2 years.
That's right. But you're going to find out that
uh-huh.
things get weird. Okay. So biannual means twice a year or two times within a 365-day period.
Right.
And there's a reason why I make that distinction.
Because you could get into fiscal years and stuff like that.
Yeah. The prefix bi means two and annual means year. Right.
right.
So, for instance, you should check your smoke detector batteries on a biannual basis twice
right.
a year.
Right.
And biennial, as you said, means once every 2 years. Or...
Uh-huh.
Exists or lasts for 2 years.
Oh, so if you have say, not a World's Fair, but some sort of festivity.
That goes for 2 years.
That, you know.
Yeah. All right.
I'm sure there are European villages that have those, yes.
It's derived from the Latin biennium, meaning 2 year period. You've probably heard of the term biennials in reference to plants.
Yeah. Yes.
Along with annuals and perennials, biennials, that plant needs 2 years to complete its biological plant life cycle. It blooms in its second year and then dies.
Right.
Foxglove, black-eyed Susan, sweet William, some of those. All right. What about semi-annual?
Semi-annual would mean it happens more than once a year.
I would say twice a year.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's specifically twice?
Semi means half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's the same as biannual.
Okay.
Is that right? Semi-annual and biannual?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But definitely not the same as biennial.
No.
Right. Although often used interchangeably, there is actually a difference between semi-annual and biennial. Now, we weren't suggesting that you would confuse those, but people do. Semi-annual means occurring twice a year, as in every 6 months.
Okay.
All right. Biannual just means occurring two times in the year. It could be January and February.
Right.
And that's biennial.
I mean, there are local craft shows that happen
biannually.
You know, like maybe in April and October.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't know that there was that distinction. And since we messed them up so bad, I don't think it matters anyway.
Although, if you're signing up for something.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to know.
Am I doing this twice a year or am I doing this once every 2 years?
For sure. The distinction gets lost when speaking of weeks and months. And in fact, things get downright confusing.
Okay.
That's what you wrote down earlier?
Yes.
The prefix bi usually means every two. So bi-monthly means?
Bi-monthly, I think, can mean either twice a month or every 2 months.
But how could you have it mean both things?
I don't
and
know.
That's why it's downright confusing.
But am I right?
Yeah.
It can mean either.
Right.
I learned that when I subscribed years ago to Captain Marvel. Uh-huh. The comic book from Marvel Comics, and it was bi-monthly. And I thought, wait, am I going to get two a month or one every other month? It was one every other month.
Right. And I think with publications, the bi is almost always every other.
Mm. Right. Financial reports, though, might be bi-monthly, meaning the 1st and the 15th or something.
Yes, but I don't understand.
I don't either.
It's wrong. In something that the two phrases are identical as far as in the context in which they're used. And so you confuse the heck out of people.
If I hired you and said you'll get paid bi-monthly.
Yes.
You're thinking every other Friday.
Right.
And then I come back, no, every other month.
Yeah.
That would be a big difference.
And then there's, when you get to weekly, you know, there's that distinction about semi and bi. One is every 2 weeks.
Right. Right.
Well, if you got a month with 5 weeks, you like every 2 weeks.
Yes, you do.
Because if it's just bi-monthly,
that's a good point.
Then you're going to have a whole week without salary.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so semi means half or halfway. So semi-monthly means?
Semi-monthly would mean on the 15th or twice.
Twice
a month.
Every 2 weeks.
Right.
Yeah, every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But more than one online grammarian blithely states, however, bi-monthly can also mean twice a month, which is what we talk about.
Yeah, that's wrong.
It is. The same applies to weekly. Bi-weekly means once every 2 weeks or twice a week.
Huh.
So you just have to follow a style guide, your own style, and decide which you're going to use. To me, and not coincidentally, according to the AP Style Book, bi-weekly publication is issued every 2 weeks, and bi-monthly publication is issued every 2 months.
So 6 times a year.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Semi-weekly means twice a week.
Oh.
Semi-monthly means twice a month.
Okay.
So AP Style makes a
I like
real
that.
Distinction.
Yeah,
there.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. So are you semi-confused by now?
Oh, I'm more than half.
KUAF is giving away tickets to the 2019 Rocklahoma Music Festival, held Memorial Day weekend, May 25th through the 27th in Pryor, Oklahoma. Over 60 acts will perform, including Shinedown, Seether, Buck Cherry, and Pop Evil. Winners announced Friday, May 17th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Information and registration available at KUAF.com. KUAF is supported by Rituals Coffee and Beer Fest, hosted by Onyx Coffee Lab and Ozark Beer Company. Rituals Fest is this Saturday, May 4th, at the Venue 718 in downtown Rogers. Guests will be exposed to over 15 breweries and 7 roasters, mostly not distributed in Arkansas. 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. sessions will be offered. OzarkBeerCompany.com/events for tickets.
Contributors today included Antoinette Grajeda, Timothy Dennis, and Jacqueline Froelich, who provided coverage of the Seven Hills mortgage payment and the VA. Timothy also mastered our show. Reflections in Black is written and hosted by Raven Cook, produced by Lee Wood at KUAF. Our militant grammarian, Catherine Sherald, she'll be back next week. Additional content today provided by KUAR Radio in Little Rock. A listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Crosses. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. Antoinette Grajeda curates the music we hear at the end of many of our shows, and we're going to hear some music right now. A song recorded exclusively for us at the Carver Center for Public Radio by Kaylin Fay called Faint Memory. You can find out much more about her at kaylinfay.com. Thanks for spending part of your rainy day with us. We genuinely appreciate it. Back tomorrow at noon and 7 on 91.3.
Oh, I miss slow dancing, close in the living room. And the record skips while it plays our tune. Maybe I just miss the good times when life didn't seem so bad. Sometimes it's hard to see what you had. And it ain't nothing. It ain't nothing but a faint memory. Oh, it ain't nothing. It ain't nothing but a faint memory. Do you remember drinking whiskey on our back? Laughing at the neighbors through a cracked screen door. And it seems like just last week you had that bottle in your hand. But time's playing tricks on me again. And it ain't nothing. It ain't nothing but a faint memory. Oh, it ain't nothing. It ain't nothing but a faint memory. I'm a strong believer that everything must change. But since you've left, it's a crying shame. Oh, you're gone, it's a crying shame. But you're a faint memory.